Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for Easter Sunday, 2009. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter proceeded to speak and said, "You know what has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. This man God raised on the third day, and granted that he be visible, not to all people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God, as judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness, that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Israel say, "His mercy endures forever."
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
The right hand of the Lord has struck with power. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. I shall not die but live, and declare the works of the Lord.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, if then you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ your life appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter, and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial clothes there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial clothes there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And we're here to talk about Easter Sunday.
Oh boy, can you believe it?
I know. Actually, for me this year, I think Lent has flown by, it actually seems. I don't know how it's been for you. And it might just be because I'm in a parish and doing all kinds of things and trying to finish up school and all that, that
yeah.
Everything just seems to be flying by all my time, seems to be.
Oh boy, just think next year at this time that you can preside at one of these Easter liturgies. How exciting.
Yeah, next year this time I'll probably be exhausted. That's
right. Yeah. Very true.
This year I'm sitting here saying, you know, trying to plan an ordination and everything else and get all this stuff going on that's distracting me and then having school on top of it. But next year it'll be, I'm sure, exhausting just with all the liturgical celebrations and everything.
Right.
So, anyway, though, we should probably talk a little bit about the readings and talk about Easter. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, Dawn, we were talking about before the podcast that you mentioned, actually, was that certainly the event is important, but there's also the importance of having it preached to us. I don't know if you want to talk a little about that, about, you know, the apostles preaching it to us so that we can still understand the message.
Yeah, I just got to thinking about, you know, if these apostles didn't get to the tomb, or if they went to the tomb and saw what happened and never told anyone else, well, the event might have just ended there. Now we know God's more, he handles everything. But the point is that the important thing in this was that they came back and told other people about it, who then began to understand, who then told more people. And so now here we are more than 2,000 years later, or 2,000 years later, I guess.
Yep.
So, and we're still relying on the testimony of these people, but also we are asked to go and spread the same message to people in our world, those far away, like in mission fields, but also those just around us, our family members, our coworkers, saying that, you know, Jesus really has risen from the dead. And I don't understand every little detail about it, but I have come to believe that this is true.
Right. And I think that that's something that you and I have talked about, this kind of theme that religion is not a private affair.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about that a lot, that it involves going out and continuing. You know, you have this experience of God, and you need to share that experience of God with people, certainly. And, you know, we hear the story. The experience, of course, is the resurrection. It's not, you know, oh, I had a warm, fuzzy feeling. I mean, certainly we do have those too. But what you're talking about is really the faith experience. And if we don't share our faith, it ultimately will wither and die, as
right.
you kind of alluded to there.
Right.
One of the things, too, that I always find powerful in these readings is, or that I find interesting, I should say, maybe not as powerful, but is the fact that who it was who saw everybody first, because the people who first see the resurrected Christ or who first come are not the ones who you would expect. It's not Peter. Or maybe you wouldn't expect Peter if you know enough about Peter, because he seems to be the guy who goofs everything up, but over and over again. But I mean, he's the one who's obviously the head of the apostles and kind of the preeminent figure amongst Jesus's group. But it tends to be the women who came mm-hmm. first. And we hear it here in the Gospel of John, and it's presented in all the Gospels this way, that it's Mary Magdalene who comes to the tomb early in the morning, here it's, you know, while it was still dark, and finds the empty tomb. And then she goes and tells the apostles that the tomb, and the apostles, depending on which account we're reading from Scripture, tend to be skeptical at first, and they need to see this proof or something.
Oh, sure,
like that.
Yeah.
And I think that it's important for a couple reasons. One is that the person who first received this, or who first noticed this, Mary Magdalene, would have been, by all means in the Jewish society of the day, a nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And yet she's the person that Christ reveals the resurrection to first, is this person who is seemingly a nobody. And I think what that shows us is that it's not just the people who we think God should be communicating to that receive messages from God. A lot of times, I know, being in the clergy, and you probably being in ministry, people expect us to be closer to God or have some kind of an in with God that they themselves don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's clearly not the way God operates. We see it over and over again in Scripture, but right here, the first person to receive this message is Mary Magdalene. It's not Peter. It's not the apostles. And then, of course, you know, she goes out and tells them, and they rush to see it because certainly they're excited about it. But I think that there's an important message right in there that God doesn't just speak to, you know, the priests or the clergy, but God reveals himself to the lowly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we need to be constantly reminding ourselves of that and looking for God in our lives in that way. Then, of course, you've got this whole scene where you've got Peter and the other disciple running to the tomb. And some of this actually comes to a little bit of John's agenda when writing the Gospels. If you notice, it's the beloved disciple or the other disciple who arrives at the tomb first. And this actually goes back to probably a little bit of a rivalry that John's community had with Peter's, with the community who was following Peter at the time. And so it's kind of one of their ways of saying, well, our guy's better than your guy. You know, we're following John, the beloved disciple, and see, he got there first.
He can run for it faster.
That's right. That's right. Now, ultimately, I mean, they are in union with Peter's community
everything. Yeah.
But it's just a little piece of trivia that you can know. It's a way of them, of John's community writing and saying, see, our guy's better than your guy. He got there first, and he believed first. The one who believes in this is not Peter, but it's the other disciple who believes. So those are just, that just shows you that, that there were politics even at the very beginning of the church.
Well, you know, that's what I was just thinking. It's so frustrating sometimes to think about the politics that go on in church, but in just in life in general, and thinking, you know, how, God would be so disappointed and he can never use this for good, but here this is in scripture.
Yep. Yep. And he does, and he uses it for good. That's what we learn. I mean, even when you look at, I mean, we believe that our church is divinely inspired and guided by the Holy Spirit, but any number of dogmas and doctrines that we've developed that we believe been revealed to us have always had people who, within the church, have not been comfortable with them,
right,
especially when they were first promulgated and everything. But what I think we have to realize is that the Holy Spirit can work through this through human beings, and that's what we trust.
I was thinking that same thing this past weekend on Palm Sunday when we hear about Peter denying Jesus three times. And it's just so struck me that I think that, you know, no, I can't do any good because, you know, I'm so sinful and I'm really bad. But yet God used this guy that denied him. Here is a firsthand witness, I guess is what I was thinking. If anybody should have got it right, it's somebody that lived with Jesus, and he denied him, but yet look at what God used him for. And so I guess it was just an encouragement for me along the way.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, and that I think is a big theme that we have to understand, is that God can work with our human weaknesses. We see it over and over. I mean, in the feeding of the 5,000 or something, you know, one of the messages you can take from that is God can work with an insufficient amount, like, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and feed 5,000 people into superabundance with what seems to be an insufficiency. And so we see that over and over again in scripture, that theme there. And then, of course, you know, I think we do need to talk a little bit about the resurrection.
Maybe.
It is Easter, it is Easter after all. And I think that this is, I mean, really the definitive moment of our faith. It is our biggest feast because it's the moment when we say that our salvation has finally been procured, when Christ had died, but all of a sudden he overcame the power of sin and death. And by rising from the dead, he's shown that he has conquered the power of death. And that's where we get our faith that we too will rise to life, because I think it's said in scripture over and over, but St. Paul certainly talks about it. You know, if we have died with Christ, we will rise with him. And I think that that's the real core message of what it is to be Christian, what our Christian faith is about, is this. We need to die with Christ in order that we can rise to new life with him. And we believe that we can do this because we've seen Christ has already conquered the power of death. And death, of course, is a result of sin that we know from the Genesis story. So he's conquered the power of sin and death. And because of that, we can be liberated if we attach ourselves to Christ. And that is the good news of the gospel right there.
You can't put it any better than that.
And so hopefully everybody takes some time to glory in this resurrection as we celebrate this Easter Sunday. And hopefully you'll be back next week to join us on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.